Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. There are so many exciting things happening in our church during this time, and you can find out more about what they are on our website, mykc.ca, or simply go to our online connect card to connect with one of us, one of our staff, and our pastors, and I'd be more than happy to share them with you. Before we get started, there are a few announcements for you. The first is that a quick reminder that we have communion next week. So prepare juice and bread during this week so that we can partake together next week. Also, another quick reminder, tomorrow, November 28th, 10 a.m. through Zoom, we're going to have our annual general meeting. And this is going to be for all the registered members of Koinonia only. And if you are a registered member, you should have already received an email with the login links and also the resolutions that we need to vote for tomorrow. And so if you have any questions, difficulties, contact us, and we hope to see you tomorrow. For the past few weeks, the Cantonese in-person worship service has reopened, and I want to say it's so great. It's so great to be in the house of God to worship together. But of course, we haven't forgotten about you guys, and so please mark this date on January the 8th, the second week of the new year. We are going to be reopening our in-person English worship, our youth worship, and our Kapos worship, and we can't wait to see all of you again. And mark the date, January 8th. English worship will begin at 9:15 a.m. And if you're a parent with children or with youth, you must register them for the in-person worship service. There is no drop-in during this time because of safety reasons when we reopen. So make sure you register your children and your youth through their worship services. Also, a brief note, if you are a Kapos parent, after you register, you're going to receive an invite to an info session for all of you guys. And that's going to happen either December 5th or December 12th, depending on which one you are able to attend. So all in all, make sure you register your children to Kapos and your youth to youth worship, and we can't wait to see all of you in person. And as you may have guessed, during this time, we have needs for servants, and we are going to be recruiting new servants during this time. But more than that, we want all of us to be a part of what's happening during this chapter of the church. Because think about this, when we look back a year from now, when we look back 2 years from now, we're gonna look back at the transition from 2021 to 2022 as an important maybe milestone or even a chapter of this church. And really, we want you to be a part of this. We want all of you to be a part of this. We want you to look back 2 years later and say, you know, I've been involved actively, I've played a role, and I've seen how God has worked in this community, and we want you to be a part of this. And so we invite you to take part by serving. And in just a second, I'm going to list out a couple of ministries and their specific needs. But that's only, you can think of it like a minimum requirement. We're giving the minimum amount of people that we need during this time so that you can have a better idea of what we're looking at. So for Kapos ministry, for the people that serve the children, we are in need of 10 servants, 10 positions that are empty right now that needs to be filled. For the youth ministry, the people that serve the youth in their youth service, we need one brother or sister to serve. Again, that's the minimum number. For the production team, you're going to be working with technology, working with lights, audio, presenter, PowerPoint, stuff like that. We are looking at 3 members to join us. And for site team, you're going to be responsible for setting up, tearing down, making sure the place is ready for worship. We are looking at 3 empty positions during this time. So we invite all of you, take part in this. Don't wait. Sign up to serve, and we're going to go through this important chapter for this church together. And so I'm going to invite you now to stand, and we're going to prepare ourselves for praise and worship today. Let's pray together first. God, we want to thank you for all the work that you have done in this church. We also want to thank you for all the work that you have done in us, whether we know them or not. And God, may you use this time that we have set apart for you. May you use this time to speak to us and to change us and to transform us. And God, we are longing to meet you in your word. We're longing to meet you in worship today. Amen. Let us worship together.
The key. The work is finished, the end is written, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Could imagine so great a mercy, what I could fathom such boundless grace. The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever, Jesus Christ, my Lord. His grip on me, you have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, God, you were there for me, and in right trespass around my life when I abandon you. To abandon me had never crossed your mind. God, your unrelenting love for me has overcome the grief, and the life I live was paid for by no other than your name. I have nothing to repay you for, your overwhelming grace, but the life I live to glorify your name for all my days. God, I don't understand why you would care for me when I ran from you and fell. God, you were there for me, and in retrospect throughout my life, when I abandoned you, to abandon me had never crossed your mind. God, your unrelenting love for me has overcome the grave, and the life I live was paid for by no other than your name. I have nothing to repay you for, your overwhelming grace, but the life I live to glorify your name for all my days. That nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, present circumstances, future tries to no other than your name. Now in trials and tribulations we stand upon your truth, that your glory in our weakness if we put our trust in you. Now in trials and tribulations we stand upon your truth, that your glory are our weakness if we put our trust in you.
God, we thank you for your amazing love. God, we thank you for your unending love. We thank you for your overwhelming love and your unrelenting love. God, I want to pray for the church. I want to pray for those of us who feel like they have a void, they have a chasm in their heart, who have shadows in their soul, who feel like they are separated, distanced from you. Or maybe they don't even know what they're lacking, but they just know something is missing in here. God, I want to pray that your love will dwell in them, that your love will fill them, that the Holy Spirit will fill them with your love, because that is what we need. Your love, your presence, and your Spirit inside of us. So God, we pray that your Spirit will fill us to overflowing with your love. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, please be seated.
Do you still remember your first IG post? I remember my first Instagram post was almost 5 years ago. I would try very hard to pick the best picture. I would try even harder to select the right filter. And after all the adjustment, I press share. But as we all know, sharing is not the end of the whole IG experience, right? After the IG is posted, I would go back again and again and keep checking how many people like my post, how many comments has been made. And I would also be eager to know how many new followers do I have after every day. Yes, IG is not just about sharing. I'm sure we all have similar experience in playing with different social media platforms, from Facebook to TikTok to IG. Even though they are supposed to be platforms for us to share our important moments with our friends, most of us would never be content in just sharing things, right? Besides sharing, deep down in our heart, we want to be liked, we want to be followed. The focus is not just about communication. Deep down in our heart, we want to be someone's focus, even though it is just 5 seconds. In one sense, some of us are like the modern Narcissus for the Greek mythology. One day, Narcissus was thirsty. He bent down to drink. And suddenly, he stopped and stared. For in the mirroring surface of the water, he saw the handsome face he had never seen. He smiled, and the handsome face smiled back. Joyfully, he nodded, and so did the stranger in the water. He did not know that it was his own image, for some reason, that he had fallen in love with. And he sat smiling at himself, forgetting to eat, forgetting to drink, and sadly, until he wasted away and died. From this story, we get the term narcissism. And were Narcissus to live today, I'm sure he would have found many tools for self-admiration. Phones with cameras on both sides, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram with thumbs up and heart-shaped button to prove likability to others. But there's a but. As follower of Jesus, are we supposed to be agreeing with the narcissism, the excessive admiration of ourselves? Besides trying our best to get people's attention to ourselves, is there something more in following Jesus? For the past 4 weeks, we have explored different psychic stories in the Bible. Although each character is different and unique, from Abraham's servant to Philip, from Abigail to Gideon the judge. But there's one thing in common. Although they were never at the center of the story, they all have a special role to play. To the hero of the story, these psychics were like spotlight. The spotlight shined on the heroes so that they become focus of the attention. So you can say the psychic are like spotlight or road sign. A good signpost directs people's attention. Signposts point the way. Signposts give out information of what is ahead. When our family first arrived in Vancouver almost 7 years ago, one of the places we were eager to explore was UBC campus. It's beautiful, it's huge, but we almost got lost. But I'm thankful for signs like this one at that roundabout. I don't know whether you have seen that sign before. This sign directs my attention. It points to the way, and it gives me information of how to go to UBC instead of going to Vancouver. So this is very helpful. And what if we all become spotlight or signpost to Jesus? Instead of drawing people's attention to ourselves, we turn the attention to Jesus. We point people to Him. We give out information about who Jesus is and what a life like this look like. As we are entering the fifth week of the Sidekick series, let's take a look at the story of John the Baptist, who gave us a perfect example of what a good spotlight or a good signpost would look like. Let's go to the beginning of Mark's Gospel. And the story was unfolded in Mark chapter 1. John was already quite famous and popular. While Jesus was just starting out his ministry, in Mark chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, Jesus was baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sin. We're talking about thousands and thousands of people getting baptized by John, which is a lot. I could imagine if John the Baptist is here in 2021, for sure he will be getting many likes on Facebook and many people will be following his Instagram, right? There was a lot of excitement and anticipation among the Jewish people. I can imagine the Jewish people would be wondering if John could be the Messiah that they have been waiting for to save them from that evil Roman Empire. That would be great, right? And John's popularity is rising. Some Jewish religious leader from Jerusalem also came and checked him out. They want to know who this John person is. Is he really the one? Is he the Messiah? Now, let's take a look at one of the dialogues between the Jewish leaders and John in John chapter 1, verse 19 and on. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." But now, you can sense the tension in the air and the anxiety in the Jewish leaders. And I wonder what was going through John's mind at the time. Perhaps a sense of achievement, maybe? And after all, he was being compared to the Messiah and great prophets such as Elijah in the Old Testament, which was something significant. But John was certainly holding his own and demonstrating great restraint and composure here. They continued to ask John. So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who send us, our boss. Our boss wants to know, what do you say about yourself?" By now, John could have said, "I am John the Baptist. I am famous. Haven't you heard about me? Look at the thousands and thousands of followers on my IG and Facebook." John could have answered the question in different ways to draw attention to himself, but he did not. Instead, he replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet in the Old Testament, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." John saw himself as nothing more than a voice. John saw himself as nothing more than a signpost, a spotlight, and a sidekick of Jesus. As a sidekick, he is just preparing the role for the real hero who is coming. But the religious leader were not happy about John's answer. They kept pressing John. "Then, why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" They really want to know, to find out, under what authority John used to baptize people. Then John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stand one who do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. Listen, guys, listen. I am not the hero that you thought you are looking for. I baptize with water, and it's nothing compared with what the Messiah is going to do. He is the one, and he is coming soon. I'm not even good enough to be his slave who untied the string off his sandals. John's humility is in such sharp contrast to our modern day's culture. But his role at the signpost did not stop here. Listen to what happened the next day. On the next day, we saw an encounter between the hero and the psychic in our story. And let's see what happened. The next day, John saw Jesus, now it's John and Jesus encounter, right? Coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he took the opportunity and pointed out to those around him who Jesus really is. You guys think I am the hero? You got it all wrong. I am not the Messiah. Jesus right here is the Messiah who will take away our sin. John then continued, this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose, I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel. And John continues that, and John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. This is the Son of God. John repeatedly introduced Jesus to the world. John repeatedly humbled himself and at the same time exalted Jesus as the Messiah. Hey guys, listen up. I saw the Holy Spirit come down from heaven like a dove and rest on this man called Jesus. And God told me that he is the Son of God, the Lamb of God. He will take away your sin. He is greater than me. I baptize with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And in other words, John is simply saying, I am just a road sign. Like a road sign, John takes every opportunity to lead people to Jesus. Like a spotlight, John takes every single opportunity to point people to Jesus, to introduce the people to the real hero, their Messiah. And later, in chapter 3 of the same gospel, we see the same pattern in John's life. In John chapter 3, we see Jesus and John were both ministering and baptizing people in Judean area. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salem, because water was plentiful there and people were coming and being baptized. Now, a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and all are going to him. You can see here, John's disciples were not happy. They were really concerned about losing their baptism business to Jesus. "Look, Rabbi, you know the one you were telling everyone about. He's stealing our trade secret and baptizing people. We are losing people to him. Before this Jesus come along, I think we were pretty good. We have a good ministry among us. And now, people are following him, this Jesus person. His influence on the people is growing." But guess how John responded to their concern? And what John said next is huge. It gave us an incredible insight to all of us why he is so good in being a signpost, a spotlight, and a good sidekick to Jesus. John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourself bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him." What John was saying to his disciples, and he is saying this to you and me as well today. "Hey guys, why are you even worried? Can you see? Everything that we have in this ministry comes from God. God has a specific purpose for us. He wants people to come to us so that we can point them to Jesus." In John chapter 3, verse 29 and 30, John further illustrated his point by telling a parable of the bridegroom and the bridegroom's friend, or in today's term, the best man and the groomsman. And listen to what John has to say. "The one who has the bride is the bridegroom, obviously. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete." To give you some more details, in the traditional Jewish wedding, the friend of the bridegroom or the best man did not just stand there and smile for photo op. That is our modern wedding. He actually had a big responsibility, even bigger than the GM in the wedding. He had to make all the preparation, get the people ready for the wedding, and to make sure the ceremony went smoothly without any hiccup, so all the attention can be focused on the bridegroom and the bride. So it is only natural that the friends of the bridegroom would find his greatest joy or happiness in knowing that the bridegroom and the bride are finally being married. In John's case, his role as the best man was simply to get the Jewish people ready for Jesus, who is the bridegroom. John knew that the best man is not the bridegroom. The bride always belongs to the bridegroom. And John is just happy to know that Jesus is finally here and his people are ready to him. This is the type of humility that John demonstrated over and over again. So in verse 30, John summarized this. "He, which is Jesus, must increase, so I must decrease. He must increase, so that I must decrease." This is striking. This is a game changer. This is in direct conflict with conventional wisdom. John is no small potato, right? He can be a hero in his own right. He's popular, he already has his own group of followers. He could have written on his Facebook page, "I am cousin to the Messiah. I'm the famous sidekick to the Messiah. Look at me." But John knows better than that. John recognized that God has given him the role of being a sidekick to Jesus. He knows that it was not because he is smart or brilliant or that he works hard for it. Rather, he knows it was by grace that God has given him this role so that he could point people to Jesus. John understood this and was content in his role as a sidekick, as a spotlight, as a road sign. John has everything he needed to be the hero, but he understood his calling and identity in relation to Jesus. John is content with being a sidekick of Jesus. And by becoming a spotlight, John became a humble and loyal messenger, pointing people not to himself, but pointing people to Jesus. Becoming a spotlight, pointing people to Jesus. So in reality, how can we in Koinonia become a spotlight or a signpost for Jesus? Let me share with you two directions. Number one, by becoming a spotlight to Jesus in the social media. While a lot of people try to use IG or Facebook to direct other attention to himself or herself, you don't have to do the same. Let our social media channel be a spotlight for Jesus. Perhaps you will ask, do I have to post only Bible verses then to be a spotlight? No, I think we can do better than that. Think about Jesus' parable. You know, in the gospel, Jesus not only just quote the Old Testament verses all the time. Jesus was creative. He used tangible objects in first century to illustrate the goodness and the faithfulness of God. He would use things in nature, like birds, like sowers, like mustard seeds, like fig trees. He would use household objects, like lampstand, wineskin, fishing net. He was just ordinary people, like builders, servants, tax collectors. He was just social events, like wedding banquet. He was use a lot of things that people know and tangible to illustrate God's truth. As we all know, a picture is worth a thousand words. So as we are walking in our community or on campus, how about we train ourselves to pay attention to our surroundings and capture photos that point to the goodness and faithfulness of God? Let me share with you a photo that I have on my social media. This photo was taken at John Lawson Park in West Vancouver. A few years ago, I went through one of my low points in the ministry journey. For almost a year, I had the opportunity to meet with a clinical counselor in West Vancouver. After a few appointments, I noticed that the clinic is just steps away from the waterfront of West Vancouver. You can see that this is the one of the platform overlooking the river. It overlooking downtown Vancouver, as you remember, the Lionsgate Bridge, and also, I think that's UBC right here. So for me, John Lawson Park was not just an ordinary park. It was an important milestone where I witnessed God's healing and restoration. And at that year, I came upon a quote which I feel very connected to where I was in the journey. The place God calls you to, it's a place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. The place God calls me is the place where my deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Eventually, I combined this quote and the photo, and it became one of my cover photo in Facebook. This is John Lawson Park. It might not be a professional photo, but it captures my experience of God's goodness and faithfulness. For you, it might not be John Lawson Park, obviously, but could it be Gary Point Park? Could it be the Iona Beach? Or could it be the top of the Grouse Mountain? Yes, you and I can be spotlight to Jesus in the social media. Instead of directing others' attention to ourselves, our life, our food, for example, right? We can make a difference, one post at a time, and directing people's attention to Jesus. The second direction I would like to share is about becoming a spotlight to Jesus as Koinonia reopens. In the past, we may just play safe, stay at the sideline, but as KEC continue reopens, now is a new opportunity. Are you willing to be that signpost to bring more people to Jesus? This now is a great opportunity for us to be the pointer to guide people to Jesus. You don't need special talent. You don't need a special superpower. As you see from the testimony of John this morning, as a sidekick of Jesus, all you need is a humble heart. For the past 2 months, since our church reopens, we have the opportunity to welcome new friends at Fraserville every Saturday. Some of them come with the whole family, with kids in elementary or high school. Some of them are young adults. Some of them just got their first job in Vancouver. As our church continues to reopen at the new location, Fraserville Church, at the new time, Saturday morning, I would like to encourage you to step out of your comfort zone and try a few simple things. For example, before Saturday, send an invitation through IG or Facebook and bring people to church. And once you are at church building on Saturday at Fraserville, make sure you don't just hang out with your own buddies or good friends. Try to greet people. Yes, I know it is more awkward now when everyone is with a mask, but you don't know how much a smile, a welcoming face, a simple greeting would mean to a newcomer. Another simple thing you can try is to invite new people you meet to join Oikos, our small group. Currently, we have Oikos catered for adults, young adults, and high school. Perhaps you are not ready to lead an Oikos yet, it's okay, but you are definitely more than able to invite friends, to invite someone to join an Oikos. And through all these small but significant steps, you are playing the role of a sidekick and you become a spotlight, pointing people in Vancouver, in Richmond, to Jesus. Now, may I invite you to stand and let's have a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you for showing us the life of John the Baptist. Thank you for teaching us to be a spotlight. Help us to know our role. Help us to have the courage pointing people to you. Because we know, Jesus, you are the center. You're the center of our life story. You are the center of Koinonia story. You are the center of the whole salvation story. So in this morning, Lord, we ask you to grant us courage to become a spotlight, to become a signpost in pointing people to you. Yes, you are the center. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus.
As we conclude our worship this morning, let me encourage you to support and participate in the ministry of Koinonia through offering. And for online offering, please go to our church website, english.mykc.ca. And now let's stand for the benediction. Let me bless you with the blessing from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians. Now to Him, who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace, and we'll see you next week.